Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk every second Friday of the month. However, today is Wednesday, and funny enough, this is our first show of 2016, and today's just going to be an intro of things to come for Can We Talk Radio. And I also have the pleasure of having two very powerful ministers of the word on tonight's show, Minister Iron Sherelle Munn, who recently moved from Los Angeles to New Zealand. But before I introduce them, I just wanted to talk about some of the things we're going to be doing in Can We Talk Radio. It's my goal for us to reach the masses for Can We Talk, and I want to reach about thousands, if not millions, of people. And so if you know of guys that are, if you know people that would benefit from this radio show, and it's a blessing to you, definitely introduce them to the podcast, introduce them to Can We Talk, spread the word. We want to grow this thing as big as possible. And so, Minister Iron Sherelle, how are you guys doing?
We're well, family. How are you doing?
Not too bad, man. I just wanted to apologize to you guys and apologize to our audience tonight. It was my intention tonight. The topic was supposed to be Walking by Faith in 2016, and talking about the importance of having the God kind of faith to fulfill purpose and destiny. Well, you can always tell when the enemy is threatened by your ministry and the way God is using you. The file, as you know, was corrupted, and I couldn't retrieve my notes and scriptures and outline for the show after spending hours, organizing it and structuring it, but that's okay. Next week we're going to come back harder and stronger, and you can't stop the word of God through this radio show from coming forth. You cannot contain a hurricane. You can't stop the whirlwind from blowing. So, it's going to be okay. But other than that, Minister Ira.
Absolutely, brother. I want to thank you so much for inviting my wife and I to be on the show again. And we're going to make those demons send out the distress call anyway. So whatever Satan tries to put in our way, we actually can use that for the greater glory of God. We can turn around what Satan meant for evil to our good and to the blessings of other people, that they may draw closer to the Lord Jesus, especially in these end times. So thank you again for inviting us, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for those of you who don't know, Minister Ira, I've known them for a few years now, and Minister Ira and his wife, Sherelle, moved to New Zealand. And how long have you guys been over there for?
We've been here since September of last year, so going on 5 months now. I say four going on five.
Amen. And Minister Ira, if you can tell us a little bit about your company, Aerospace.
Yes, Aerospace Holdings is a conglomerate that's focused on three particular endeavors. So there's three subsidiaries of Aerospace Holdings. There's Aerospace Industries International, which is the vehicle company that we're looking to start here in New Zealand, that is focused on electric vehicles, both aircraft and ground-based vehicles. And then we also have Aerospace Asteroid Initiative, where we've gathered together a team of scientists and engineers on the redirection of asteroids for the purpose of resource acquisition mining. So we're very excited about that, and there's an august team of members that have come along on this journey with us to be amongst the first companies to initiate asteroid mining. So we're very excited about that, a wonderful group of people that we're working with in many parts of the world, not just the United States, but also in Australia and other parts. So very excited about that. And also Aerospace Futures, which is the commodities pool to be based in Singapore that we're starting to be an arc to grow wealth for those who decide to invest. And our primary investment focus is commodities and financial futures because there's a lot of volatility. It's already taking place. I mean, we're just halfway into January, and already, you know, there's been major volatility around the world, not just in China, as we've been hearing about on the news, but various other parts of the world as well. And in times of volatility, if there's someone that is the right steward over wealth, that wealth can grow and flourish even in times of great volatility. So that's what we look to bring to investors that choose to invest with us. So that's the three main focuses of Aerospace Holdings.
All right, amen. That's awesome. Well, guys, you know, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. We're just doing an intro show. This is our first show for 2016, and so we're just going to discuss a few things, you know, of what we have coming up in the next coming weeks. And, you know, next week we'll be doing a show titled "Stop Forcing Ishmael to Be Isaac. Let Him Go." This show is directed towards the women this time, and you know, we've been doing last year, the Lord led me to do a relationship series. We did a number of shows based around relationships between men and women, and marriage, and being single, in with the intention of being married. And so the last relationship show we had Minister Tiffany Buckner, who did an awesome job addressing the men, giving them sound, godly wisdom and instructions, and allowing God to position them in finding their God-ordained wife. This show actually for the women will actually help women recognize the dangers in getting stuck in a destructive cycle of picking and settling for a man that God never intended for them to be in. So, Minister Sherelle, what are your comments about this upcoming show?
I look forward to, you know, talking about it. I think, you know, sometimes we complicate life and we complicate where we're supposed to be in life. And I think it's a lot more simple if we just relax, let go, and let God. Enjoy the season that you're in. If you're single, enjoy being single. If you're married, enjoy your marriage. But if your desire is to be married, I think the key is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So if you're looking for that perfect husband or that soulmate or whatever your list of things are that you're asking God for, first thing first, be obedient, trust in the Lord, and be in a fertile, have your feet in fertile ground, you know, be in a place where you're positioned for your destiny to find you, because your destiny has a lot to do with being obedient and hearing from the Lord and not wavering, you know, just standing on the solid ground of God and keeping your feet placed in Christ. And that sounds so biblical and it sounds so religious, but what that really means is just trust in God and do and walk righteously. And when you do that, before you know it, your helpmate, the female is the helpmate, but your mate is going to find you. And I don't think it's as complicated as we make it seem. Sometimes we're looking in all the wrong places, and that's why we get so frustrated. But I think she's not going to be in the club, or he's not going to be in the club, you know. And sometimes the person can be right in your midst, but sometimes confusion is blocking, you know, the sight. You know, sometimes we're looking at all the wrong things, and sometimes we need to just look with our spiritual binoculars. Because sometimes God, it's not our time to see things. You know, sometimes God hasn't revealed and he hasn't took the veil off of our eyes. But a lot of times if we're looking in the spiritual realm at a person's character, we can find that person a lot easier if we're looking in the carnal eyes, with carnal eyes. You know, it's easier to see the person's true character, which God has to reveal their true character. But if we're asking God to reveal their true character and who they really are as a person, we can see things a lot more clear.
Amen. You know, it's funny you would say that. You know, I've talked to a lot of, you know, doing shows like this on relationships. I've talked to many women, and it just seems as though, like, you know, not a lot of people are willing to go through the process, meaning that they're not willing to allow God to bring them their husbands, allow them to be found, allow God to renew their minds, and you know, and they'd rather just, you know, fall back onto old habits by, you know, trying to you know, pick a man of the world, and you know, and men do it too. I'm not just being one-sided, but for the sake of this example of, you know, picking someone that you feel is your type, and I'm not sure if a type is biblical. I there's nothing wrong with liking what you like, but when it comes to the fact that you're always finding, you're always soul tied to people that have a certain type of characteristic or behavior, and so I think that that's very important, because it's not so much about being with an unhealthy person. It's what is making you believe that picking that person is okay. And so there's certain things, psychological and maybe some deep-rooted things that maybe need to be addressed. So I thought that would be interesting to say.
And when you're just talking right now, two things came to me. You're saying identifying, or like you look for a person that you have similar things in common for, your type. Why do we as Christians look for somebody who has, first we identify what our gifts are in the spiritual, our spiritual gifts, and be attracted to somebody who has a like-mind spiritual gift that complements your gift? So if you have the gift of evangelizing, why don't you look for a mate that also has the gift of evangelizing? Because that way, you know, with just that, you guys can go forward in just that. You know, looking at your spiritual gifts, are your spiritual gifts complementing each other as partners for the rest of your life, and going into the things that God has you to go in? You know, that will give an indication if, Is this going to be a lifelong journey with this person? Do we even have like-minded things with our gifts?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that came out to me, came to my mind when you were speaking just now, is this past week I heard someone mention that only 5% of the so-called church actually tithes. 5%. So what is that tells me, if that's true, let's just say that's true, okay? I don't know how true that is, but if that's true, 95% of people are not even in a position to be blessed, because they're not even tithing. I mean, that's a whole other subject in itself, talking about tithing and offerings. But it has a lot to – tithing and offerings to me have a lot to do with how much you really trust God. And let's say you do tithe. Tithing represents you're trusting God with your money, with your life, with everything. And for whoever the 5% is, I think that 5% who is tithing has a better chance of getting God's blessings without delay. There's so much delay going on because God's waiting on us to be obedient. I don't know if I stepped on any toes right there, but that kind of maybe went into a whole other direction. But
that has a lot to do with
getting the blessings of God, getting the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your inheritance. You know, claiming your inheritance has a lot to do with the covenant you have personally with God, with Jehovah. And
right.
If you're not in that covenant with God, how do you even expect to have a wife or a husband or, you know, this or that? And so, you know, a lot of these people who are praying for a wife or praying for a husband, like, ask yourself, do you tithe? What's my gift? This and that. These indications will help people get closer to the mark of where they need to even be found by a husband or a wife.
Amen. I think that
the connection between their, you know, their husband and wife, they're ordained. And I don't just mean any husband or wife. I mean ordained by God in his perfect will. I'm talking about, you know, God saying, this is your wife, thus saith the Lord.
Well, and this leads to my next point. You mentioned the word trust, and I think that a lot of times we don't trust God. We don't believe that God can do this for us in this area. We believe that we've been doing this all our lives, and therefore I know what's best for me. And the problem with that is that here's the thing, though. I mean, you have two. I believe you have two choices. And the first choice is you can pick a believer and hope for the best, and that's not sin because God has given you free will, and he's given you permission to exercise that free will. Therefore, if you do pick somebody, the only thing that you have to be aware of is that if you pick somebody on your own understanding, you're picking somebody based upon your understanding right now and where you've been in your past. And therefore, if you pick somebody who wants to be an evangelist and you don't want to be an evangelist, or somebody who wants to go further or doesn't want to go as far as you do in your career, in your ministry, in your life, and achieve your goals and dreams, then that person's going to hold you back, and there's going to be resentment there. And now you can't divorce that person based upon that. You're going to have to deal with whatever issues come up as a result of that and deal with that in Christ. Now, or what you can do is say, Lord, I can't pick on my own. I know that you know my life from beginning to the end. I know that you are all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent, and I know you want the best for me. And I know that you have my way of choosing. Your ways are not like my ways. Your ways are past finding out. Therefore, I know that you have a better person. You've picked somebody better for me than I could ever pick. And who is that? And that's the kind of person that God will release to you by faith, in obedience, in his timing. And Mr. I, what do you think about my comment?
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. You know, when God ordains a marriage, you know, he brings the two individuals together. And so, you know, that's the way for us to go. You know, just like you said, you know, someone could, you know, move forward with somebody who is a Christian. And like you said, you know, that in and of itself is not a sin. You know, and however, you know, why not have the better thing? Why not have whom God has set for you? And move forward in that, because just like you were saying, the simple fact is that God knows who we are to be mated with better than us. You know, he's the eternal one. He created everything, and he knew all of what was going to happen before it happened. So with that, if we are to trust God, then we should trust God with whom he wants our mate to be, for, you know, that relationship to flourish and to move forward in what God's will is for our lives.
Amen. Minister Sherelle, how important is timing in this equation?
I'm You know, I'm thinking about my life personally, and you know, and the stages and the seasons that I actually went through myself. And I got to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got to a point where I was tired of choosing wrong, disappointment after disappointment, heartbreak after heartbreak, and so forth. I got to a point where I wanted a fresh new start with God. And I decided, you know, God actually rescued me from myself, and he delivered me. And I surrendered to him, and I submitted my life to him, and I made him Lord of my life. And I at that point, I wanted to fall in love with Jesus and make him, Jesus Christ, personal Lord of my, you know, make him my king, make him my husband. And I said, you know what, let me fall in love with Jesus and love him with all my heart, mind, and soul. And guess what? I gave up on the time frame and the limitations of how long is it going to take for me to get married and how many years do I have to be single. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you with the time. From this day forward, however long it takes, I'd rather focus on being in your perfect will than how long I'm going to be single. And, you know, time did go by, but honestly, the time that went by was the most perfect peace I've ever had in my life. I had true peace for the first time in my life when I let go and let God. And God had all the time he needed for me to get cleaned, purified, renewed, transformed. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he gutted all the old residue out of my life. And, yeah, that took some years. I'm not going to say it took a few weeks, a few months. It took a couple years because that's how crusty and rusty I was in the world. I had so much filth on me. It took time to get all of that off of me. And God had to shape me and mold me and create a new purpose and a new plan for me. And that took time. It did take some years. But guess what? There were years of peace. There were years of joy. There were years of just, it's like if you feel disgusting and sweaty and dirty, and all of a sudden you got like the best shower and you felt so good in that shower getting clean, it was like getting the best shower of my life, and it felt good, and I wasn't worried about the time frame. And then in that period, God told me, don't be a fool and trust that a man will be faithful to you unless he's first faithful to me. And that just let me know, like, I'm not going to just give my phone number to just anybody. Like, this guy had to be representing Christ. He had to reflect Christ. He had to talk like Christ, look like Christ, act like Christ for me to even be attracted to him. And when that person comes in your life, sisters, brothers, you know, when that person comes in your life, the light of Christ is shining through them so much that you know. And then because you're walking with the Lord, he will give you confidence and assurance and confirmation, this is the person I want you to marry. And there's no guessing. There's no games. It's a straight, clear connection because your communication, you're able to hear the Spirit of the Lord because you're walking with him without distractions. And you hear him say, that's the one. And then you can rest assured that God has your back and he chose the right one for you.
Amen. That's very powerful right there. Miss Irie, anything you want to add to that?
I don't have much to add to that, brother. That was solid.
Yeah, that was solid. Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, you know, the next show that we're going to be doing in the next couple coming weeks is we're going to have back our very own Minister Ira, who's going to be who joined us actually last year. We did a very popular show on how to prepare for the coming financial meltdown, in particular dealing with the end times, the biblical end times. And this show will be a part two to that show, where Ira will be giving us the latest updates on what's happening to the world's economy with a focus on the United States. He will also be giving us biblical and practical prudent strategies to protect ourselves from what's to come. Minister Iron, what can we expect to gain from the show, upcoming show?
I'm so looking forward to it, Raz. You know, there's so much preparation that that we as believers can do in order to make sure that we can continue to operate as God wants us to operate in these end times. You know, all one needs to do is take a look on the news and see that there's wars and rumors of wars taking place. There's earthquakes, there's famines, there's pestilence. All of the things that were described, for example, in Matthew chapter 24, it's taking place now. We are in these end times now. And in so doing, there's things that God wants us to do to be prepared and to continue to operate effectively for his good work. And it starts with faith, so we'll be covering a lot on faith and not letting a lack of faith withhold you from moving forward in what God wants you to do. And also the physical things. We're going to be talking about, you know, all of the things pertaining to raiment, food, shelter, you know, the practical things that are also given to us by God, taking use of the resources that God has given us to grow and flourish in those aspects, and financially. So we'll also be covering financial aspects to be prepared to engage in now, so that when financial trials come, and there'll even be a point in time when, you know, believers are not able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast, how you can still flourish and grow and develop even financially in such times. So I'm very excited about that show, Brother Raz, and thank you so much for offering this forum to really discuss these things as believers. And for non-believers that are listening, you know, may it be a strengthening to them to study the Word of God and see what the Word of God has for the lives of believers, because there's no way but to live in the Word of God. And so I'm very excited about the show, and thank you for putting it on. I'm excited about next week.
Amen, amen. Okay, so third show coming up we got in the next few weeks will be discussing in particular, we're going to be talking about, let me see what I have my list here. We've got many shows to do, but we're going to be talking about today's show, which we were talking about Walking by Faith in 2016. And Minister Ira and Sherelle, you know, 2016 is a brand new year for us, and it's going to be met with many challenges, with things to come spiritually and manifesting in the natural. And therefore, for those of us who are serious about fulfilling our God-given potential, our destiny, and purpose in this world, you know, we're going to be met with many challenges. It's not just going to come. It's not going to be a cakewalk. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be something that the devil and through this world system and through human personalities are going to just allow us to do with ease. And so there's going to be a level of walking in the God kind of faith, not natural faith, but the God kind of faith, the same faith that God said, let there be light, and it happened. You know, this is the kind of faith that we need to have in these end times, where there's going to be so much confusion, so much erosion of faith, so much just so much craziness going on in the church, out of the church, amongst fellow believers. I mean, it's faith is really going to be in my opinion, it's going to be a scarcity. And so I'm looking forward to doing this show, because we really understand how Satan attacks our faith and why and how we need to walk by faith, you know. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Absolutely. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And so it's through the Word of God that we can hear what God says for our strength and for our faith to be strengthened. So, you know, I'm very excited, and you're absolutely right. It's really faith and holding on to the Word of God and believing His Word that will really be used as a filtering point to determine who are the real believers in these end times and who are not. You know, those who have faith and endure to the end, as the Word of God instructs, You know, those are the believers that will hold on, the believers whose seed of the Word of God was planted in fertile soil to grow into a fruitful tree and to have a bountiful harvest of love and the other fruits of the Spirit that are shed abroad amongst others so that they may also be drawn to Christ as well. And it's that faith that other non-believers will see to determine who is a believer and who is not. It's not just going to be calling yourself a Christian. You know, that might be used as a thin veil in these times where people might believe that, but we're approaching times when it's really our faith in God that will be a determining factor for people to see and know if we are believers or not. So so you're absolutely right in that, brother.
All right.
Something that came to mind when Ira was speaking, too, was I'm not naming any names, but sometimes you know, people say, oh, I'm a Christian, but you can clearly see in many areas of their life that they're truly backsliding or backslidden. And my question to the backslider is, do you love that boyfriend more than you love Jesus? Do you love that sex more than you love Jesus? Do you love, you know, stealing or gossiping more than you love Jesus? I mean, whatever your stronghold is that you can't seem to get delivered from, does that please you more than you love to please Jesus? Like, the real question is, do you really love Jesus? Because if you love Jesus, a lot of these struggles or addictions or habits would be broken if you really love Jesus. It's going to be like, you know what? I love him too much to struggle with this. I'm done with this. And it boils down to a decision that you make in your heart of hearts, like, I'm not going to struggle with this. You know why? Because it displeases God, and I love him so much I want to please him more.
Mm-hmm.
And love and faith, you know, faith is an action word. If you love Jesus, your actions will line up with that love. If you love Jesus, you put your, you know, it's an action word. You know, talk is cheap. You know, saying I love Jesus is like empty words if your lifestyle and your actions don't show that. And God is not impressed with empty words, I love you. He's like, if you love me, give me your life. Walk with me. Pick up your cross daily and walk with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a real relationship with me. He doesn't want a prostitute. He wants a wife. He's like, you know, if you really love me, you know, walk with me as a wife. You know, be married to Christ. And it really just, like, when people struggle with trusting God, what that really means is they don't really love him. Because if you love somebody with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, you have no problem trusting them. And so the real question is, how much do you love Jesus? Do you love him enough to trust him? Do you love him enough to walk with him? Do you love him enough to give him your life? Just like he chose the 12 disciples, you know, they left everything behind to follow Christ and walk with Christ. And he's asking the same thing today. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you love me? That's all he wants to know is, do you love me? If you love me, love me with unconditioned. Love me unconditionally and follow me. And give me your life. You know, this salvation is not cheap. We don't serve a cheap God.
And you know, and that
paid for Christ on Calvary's cross.
Amen. What I was going to say to that was that a lot of times people struggle with trusting God because they don't have the faith to believe that. You know, a lot of believers, you know, I mean, you know, they waste their time going to church. You know, I was one of them, going to church and still doing whatever because of the fact that you just don't believe. And it gets to the point where you have to become sick and tired of being sick and tired, where you say enough is enough. Until you get to that point, you know, a lot of people, because, you know, people can be, you know, dysfunction can become the new norm, and people can become comfortable in the uncomfortable. And so a lot of times people have to be delivered from bondages, soul ties, and things of that nature, where there has to be a spiritual liberation that has to take place for that individual to truly, for the lights to come on, for them to truly say, you know what, I now I see what I'm really doing. This is not right. You know, what have I been doing all this time? And that's akin to, you know, you've been in a relationship, and you know, you feel that that guy or that woman was the best thing since sliced bread, and then only to, you know, after a while, you like, wow, why was I with that person? Why, you know, what was I thinking about? You know, because now the veil has been lifted up to your eyes. What was that?
You know, the more you spend, the more you're blind.
Exactly.
It starts to blind you, and you start to become in bondage, and you don't realize it. And a lot of times, uh-huh. you can't even muster yourself, get the strength to get yourself out. That's when you need a supernatural, you know, deliverance by the power of God, because He loves you more than you love yourself. You can't even stop yourself at that point. And you need God to rescue you. And I've been there, you know, and that's how I rededicated my life to God. I'm not going to say I was a super Christian all my life and I just delivered myself. No, God delivered me out of darkness because I couldn't even help myself. I was so entrenched in darkness and evil, I couldn't even pull myself out. But thank God that the Holy Spirit rescued me and I surrendered. You know, at some point in time, God's going to say, enough is enough. Are you going to surrender? Do you love me? And, you know, everyone's journey and season comes to a point where everyone's going to have to make that decision sooner than later. And all I can say is, you know, open your eyes and recognize what time it is. We are truly living in the last days.
Amen. You know, and Minister Sherelle, that's very true in what you said. You know, there's going to come a point where, you know, the fornicating, the masturbating, the watching pornography, and all those things that really God is not pleased with. There's only so much grace and mercy that He's going to afford you, and after a while, you know, you know, time is going to run out. You know, and so you know, really, it's time to really, you know, the thing is that those things really, you know, truth be told, you know, those things in and of themselves are not truly going to make you happy. Anything that does not have God's blessing and its stamp of approval, it's not going to last. That relationship will never last. That you know, that it just won't last. I mean, Brother Ira, what do you think of my comment?
Oh, absolutely, brother. You know, there's so much media intake by people nowadays where they receive all of this teaching, and that's who they are. They're teachers when they watch TV, when they watch, you know, a lot of the garbage that is on the internet, on the television set, on the radio. You know, so many media forms are used to promulgate garbage, and people ingest it so much that they end up believing it. So then, of course, the next step is to, you know, act out in those ways, expecting it to be as the world suggests it would be in terms of fulfillment, and it fails, just like you said, every time. You know, whether somebody realizes that in, you know, their younger years, or when they realize that in their later years, or their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, then look back on their life and see that their life has been a waste. And so you're absolutely right. These things do not fulfill. And what fulfills is the Word of God, because our bodies, our minds, our hearts were designed to have fellowship with God. You know, it was Adam and Eve that sinned. And in so doing, you know, prior to that, they were designed to have relationship with God. The Word of God says that God walked with Adam. And so with that, you know, our bodies still to this day desire what only God can fulfill. And so people being separated by God due to their sin, they, you know, find other ways of fulfillment that, as you said, just as Sherelle said, just don't satisfy. And the only satisfaction and fulfillment that can come is through God and through Jesus, you know, God's Son and God himself, as John chapter 1 clearly shares, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only fulfillment that can take place, is when God himself is in us and working through us, and our lifestyle exudes that. That fellowship with God is the only thing that can fulfill. So you're right on point with that, and Sherelle shared some excellent points to that effect.
All right. Now, changing the subject, guys, what is your take upon what's happening with these elections, on the, you know, with the Republicans and the Democrats? What's your take on that? Looks like Trump is going to be the Republican candidate. And then we have probably Clinton, who probably will take that. Now, I mean, we've had many conversations about the end times and, you know, what's about to come. Is there going to be, who's going to be the next president? Is this going to pave the way to the to the Antichrist and so on and so forth? Brother Ira, what's your what's your take of as far as the landscape where we're at, politically?
That's a very good question, brother. You know, I was asked that very same question by my pastor here in Auckland. And so there was another pastor that he was conversing with. And so I just happened to sit down in the, you know, fellowship time after the evening service. And I turned to my right, and there they were right there. I didn't even realize. So we engaged in conversation. And they know that, you know, I'm from Los Angeles, and you know, that as a history teacher and, you know, things of that nature, that people consider me astute on current events. And they ask that very same question, you know, what do you think about the elections and what's happening? And I shared with them this. I shared with them that if there is an election come this November, I'd be surprised. And if there is an election, even after that election, between the election and the inauguration of the next president, if that next president does take office in January of 2017, I'd be surprised. And the reason for that is that I see a major degradation taking place in the moral foundations of the United States. You know, the United States has turned its back from God as a whole. Sherelle and I were just watching some video just recently where, of course, Obama, during his apology tour that he conducted around the world shortly after his first inauguration for his first term, was sharing with, you know, people around the world, you know, leaders in Muslim countries, saying that we are not a Christian nation. And, you know, a lot of Christians were offended by that. But you know what? He's not only did they get over it, but at the time, he was right. When there's 50-plus million abortions taking place since 1973, since Roe v. Wade, you know, when there's now, you know, legislation, you know, and Supreme Court rulings now making homosexual marriage legal, you know, when it is established and has been established from the beginning of humanity, that marriage is between a man and a woman, we have the erosion of foundations that God has set forth. So when these foundations are broken, you know, how can the people stand? And so now we see, as we're coming close to this next election coming up and these Republican candidates and things of that nature, you know, there's one or two, you know, candidates that, you know, I feel somewhat positive about, not that they're going to win the Republican nomination. But what I sent on Facebook just maybe a few weeks ago is this scale. And it shows what people think in terms of the disparity and the differences ideologically between Republicans and Democrats, what people think. And then another scale in that same picture that shows how close in ideology Republicans and Democrats are, and a real scale that shows the difference between freedom and bondage. And so you see Republicans and Democrats, politicians in particular, really being in close ideology when you compare where they are to a larger scale between freedom on one side and bondage, communism, totalitarianism, fascism on the other side. And so with that, I see little difference between, you know, the Republican Party and Democratic Party, very, very little difference. I think that it only takes a cursory overview of what the legislature, whether it be democratically controlled or Republican controlled, vote for in the passing of bills that completely erode the defense of rights and liberties that we have as United States citizens, as human beings. You know, I can mention the health care bill and so forth. You know, Obama didn't write that bill. Congress did. And Congress themselves didn't do too much. It was given to them by their handlers, you know, and they basically signed off on it, agreed upon it, and then the president signed it into law and affirmed it. So what we have here is we have a cohesion of these parties that only resemble differences but act very similarly. So in terms of the political candidates, Republicans running for office, there's a bunch of them right now. There's really very little ideology. You know, I like a lot of things that Dr. Ben Carson, the famous neurosurgeon, talks about. I like what he says in terms of bringing America back to its moral foundation. The challenge is that there's been such moral erosion over the years that it's had a financial effect that can little be undone. You know, we are now approaching $19 trillion of United States government debt. $19 trillion. We'll hit it before November, before the election. We'll very likely hit $19 trillion. That's almost double what it was before President Barack Obama took office. So during the course of the approximately 8 years, seven going on 8 years that Obama has been president, we've seen a practical doubling of the United States national debt. And that's just government debt. That's not Federal Reserve debt, which has a debt all on its own. That's not the debt of Americans in terms of companies and individuals and entities. We're just talking about federal government debt. This does not include state debt, and a lot of states are approaching or are near insolvent. So California being one of them, where I lived all my life before my wife and I traveled to New Zealand. So what we see is major financial consequences from our moral erosions that have taken place over time that can little be undone at this point in time, sadly enough. If somebody can come up with a plan, you know, I would be most surprised, but none of the candidates are really addressing any solutions, because I think that they're at want for any solutions financially in order to restore the fiscal health of the United States to avoid some major consequences, with the United States being the holder of the world reserve currency, the U.S. dollar, having the most debt of any nation ever in the history of the world. So we have this taking place at the same time. You have the country that is the holder of the world reserve currency, mainly based upon the petrodollar and United States relationship with Saudi Arabia. And at the same time, that same country has the greatest debt that has ever been amassed in the history of the world. So when you put those two things together, you're not looking for some positive consequences to come out from that. And I think that none of the presidential candidates, not on the Democrat side or the Republican side, and hardly of any other the third party side, can come up with a solution for the major correction that is we're just starting to see unfold in the world economy.
Absolutely. Now, you real quick, you mentioned that you doubt very much there will be that the there will be an election, or if there is an election, that the inauguration it wouldn't take place. Now, why do you say that?
I could kind of answer that question for him. A lot of prophetic people, and I'm talking about maybe at least 12 different people who are Holy Ghost-filled folks, have had visions and dreams, or even just the Holy Spirit speaking to them directly, and said that Obama will be going into a third term and that he's going to declare martial law. And then this is going to be the introduction into a one world system, and he will, and we're going to go into one world order, and America will never be an independent country how we've been all these years. It's not going to be like that anymore. And that this is going to be the book of Revelation unfolding right before our very eyes. And Obama is going to basically, there's going to be FEMA camps getting started. He's already ordered, we've heard reports of him ordering 60,000 guillotines for these prison FEMA camps and so forth. And I don't know everything that's going to happen, but there has been a lot of prophetic warning that this is well on its way. And Obama has personally said that he plans to have a third term, and he's also been very upfront with wanting to be, he believes in the one world system. He hasn't been shy about saying that. And I don't think he's hiding from what his true agenda is. If you really listen to him, he says, I'm not joking. And he'll say what he means. And I personally have had a dream of him being a dictator just like Hitler. And this was prior to him becoming a president. This was weeks before he got inaugurated in, and the Lord showed me that he has the same type of agenda of like a Hitler. So, I mean, I personally believe that, but then when I see different prophetic people who say the same thing, and one of my gifts is I do have a prophetic gift, and when I hear other prophetic people speak, some things just bear witness to your spirit. Now, everybody has the freedom to, Jesus Christ says, for those who have an ear, let them hear. For those who have eyes, let them see. Jesus Christ also says, watch and pray. What I see a lot of Christians doing right now is burying their heads in the sand. They don't want to watch. They don't want to hear. They don't want to see. And then if you bring these subjects to them, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about politics and da-da-da-da-da. And it just seems like Christians now are operating more in fear and fantasy, saying, God is good, God is good. We're going to get raptured. And I'm like, tell that to the people in Egypt who are Christians who are being, persecuted for their faith, and they're dying by the hundreds. There's hundreds and thousands of Christians dying for the faith in Christ Jesus all over the world, mm-hmm. Especially, Iran and, Syria, all over the world. There are Christians, North Korea, China, dying for the fact that they believe in Jesus Christ. But for some strange reason, Americans think that, we'll be raptured and nothing bad will ever happen to us. We're exempt. And they have this, very arrogant thought like, we're the chosen people and nothing could ever happen to us. And I'm like, if you read the Bible, the Israelites always went through things, horrific things. But, yes, God always had his hand on, God always has a chosen people. He always has a remnant of people. And I am not saying all this to put fear into nobody. But what I'm saying is wake up, read the Bible. The Bible's consistent. History repeats itself. And this is nothing new to history, the history of Christians, the history of God's people, the Israelites. But God will always have his hand on his chosen people. God will always take care of his people. God will always make provision. He will bring manna. He'll bring water. He makes provision miraculously. He makes provisions. So for the child of God who is living righteously and holy, walking with the Lord, they have nothing to fear. They have nothing to fear. And even Paul the Apostle says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So even if you do die and you wake up in a blink, in the blink of an eye, and you're now on walking on streets of gold and you're in heaven, so be it. But the thing is this, things are about to happen in America that people can't even imagine. And, I mean, you can just type in FEMA camp on YouTube. You can type in financial collapse on YouTube. You can type in American prophetic prophecy warnings on YouTube. And dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of information will pop up. And if you don't believe it, you don't have to believe everything you hear. You don't have to believe everything you see. But you can fast and pray and ask God to give you discernment. You can fast and pray and ask God for confirmation on what is truth and what is a lie, what is about to happen and what is not to happen. There's only one Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you confirmation of what the truth is. So I don't tell people, oh, believe me or believe YouTube. I say watch and pray and ask God for the confirmation.
Amen. That's oof. All right. Guys, you know, we only got a few minutes left on the show. Minister Ira and Minister Sherelle, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really enjoyed you listening to you guys talk. And, guys, this was not really a formal show per se. This was just a really a teaser show to just discuss some topics that we'll be covering in the next upcoming weeks and months. And so any closing comments real quick, guys?
I just wanted to thank you so much for inviting us on the show, brother. You know, you're a mighty man of God, and you know, God is moving upon your life and in operating this ministry for, you know, believers and non-believers alike. You know, you desire for this show to reach, you know, people, you know, to draw closer to Christ wherever they're at, you know, whether they're in the body of Christ, whether they're not in the body of Christ, to draw them closer to Christ so that they may receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I just wanted to thank you for having us on the show. You know, we're very excited on the shows that you have upcoming for the year, and I'm looking forward to being with you again on the show, brother.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Any last closing comments, Minister Sherelle?
Brother Raz, I just believe that, you know, you are a prophet, a king, and a priest of the land, and I thank God for your ministry and for you just being a diligent brother in the faith. And, you know, really quickly, Jada Pinkett was saying something about the Oscars and the, you know, the Grammys and so forth, and she's saying, oh, we need to just, you know, not want to get there. You know, why should we look for them to recognize us? And she's going on and on, and she's very intelligent. She speaks very eloquently. But then Snoop Dogg was like, Jada, I heard your message, and, yeah, I'm going to say it for you. And then he said basically the same thing, but in a Snoop Dogg type of way. And, I agree with what the principle of what they're saying, but I took it further. Christians need to apply that same principle, and we as Christians need to do our thing and stop getting the approval of the world and just do what God has called us to do and stop trying to, you know, compete with the world and just do what God has called us to do. If we all lined up with his assignment for our life, we can radically turn this world upside down for Christ. And, you know, those are my final words. And I'm greatly appreciative of this pulpit to be able to speak to the people. And power to Christ, you know, power to Christian people. And let's move forward in our power and our gifts.
Amen. Well, guys, we're going to be back next week, Friday, with Minister Sherelle and Brother Iron talking about you can't force Ishmael to be Isaac. That's going to be an awesome show. We're going to have many other guest speakers on that show that week. So we'll see you guys next Friday, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. God bless you. Peace. We'll be right back.